question was asked, how do we view marrying a minor in Judaism, marrying a younger girl? So Shulchan Aruch tells us that it's improper, it's wrong. The Gemara tells us that you shouldn't marry off a girl until she's old enough to say, this is the one who I want to marry. So the Gemara says they would punish a person if he did otherwise. And nonetheless, the Torah does give a father the right to marry off his daughter as a youngster, and the question is why. So Tosfos asks that question. Tosfos says, what's going on here? Tosfos even says, we do it around here. Tosfos says, why are we doing it? If the Talmud says it's wrong, why are we doing it? So Tosfos says, well, we have the Crusades going on, and many people do not merit to see their daughters old enough to be married. People are being murdered right and left. People are not living out their lives to be able to marry off their daughters. Now, let's go back to the world of 400, 500 years ago. You're living on a manor. The head of the manor decides what comes and goes. He makes the rules. He calls the shots. Many people lived in places where the governor wouldn't allow people to get married unless he approved it. You had, throughout the Middle Ages, places that had the same decree, like in the Hasmonean period, where the governor would sleep with the girl before she could marry anyone else. So you had, the Jews were living under very, very terrible circumstances. The Torah gives the father the right to marry off his daughter so that, under certain circumstances, where the father has reason to be concerned, that the girl will end up being violated, she'll end up being on the streets, she'll end up who knows where. You know, they have these girls sold into slavery throughout the world. There's a huge market of that, where girls are sold into slavery and they're used. Their bodies are used and abused. And so the Torah said that in order to ensure this does not happen to a girl whose father has reason to be concerned that he won't be around to take care of her, the Torah gave him the capacity to give her responsibility over to someone else. Now, what you see throughout the Gemara in Yevamos is that when they did this, very often they would only do Kiddushin and not Nisuin. So much so that Beis Shammai holds that the whole discussion around Miyun, if you're doing Daf Yomi now, is where you had Kiddushin without Nisuin. So that means they did the first step. She didn't move into his house, and this was also common practice in Yemen and in many Sephardi communities. The father would do the legal process of marrying her off, so there was a man who was looking out for her, but she grew up by her mother until she was 13, 15, until whatever age she was comfortable going over to this guy's house. They would grow up, they'd eat Shabbos meals together, they'd be friendly to one another, and they developed their relationship, but she wasn't moving into his house till she was much older. The father, on the other hand, knew, you know, this is taken care of. I know people who buy tefillin for their kids when the kid is 1 year old, 5 year old. They say, okay, I can take this off my mind. The kid's going to be bar mitzvah. I paid off his tefillin. He'll have tefillin when he gets there. So when people were living under such circumstances, the Torah gave them the capacity to ensure their daughter's well-being into the future. Being that in ancient society, girls had a very tough time managing. You see how much Chazal tried to protect the girls, and nonetheless, it was still difficult. You see that any time we were under foreign rule, the girls were taken advantage of, and you see that throughout our history, so much so that there's a discussion in Halacha whether we can have any kosher Kohanim anymore, because a Kohen's wife who is violated, her future children are going to be disqualified. She cannot remain married to the Kohen, even though it was done by force against her will. So the Halacha discusses, are there any women among us who haven't been violated? That's, you see the response of the time. You know, we live in a day where if that ever happens, we were shocked. And they lived in a time where there was hardly a woman who wasn't violated in the days of the Crusades and everything that was going on in throughout the period of most of our history. I mean, at least Ashkenazi Jewry. So along came the Torah and said, a person has concern and he's worried that who knows what will happen with his daughter down the road. So the Torah gave him the capacity to ensure that she can be taken care of. Along with that, the Torah said, I don't recommend it. When it's not necessary, that's not the way to run life. Let the girl grow up and choose who she wants to marry. But when you have situations where the alternative seems so much worse, so the Torah gave us the capacity to protect the girl. And again, Tosfos writes, and I met people who told me their mothers were married off this way. That in Muslim countries, if a girl wasn't legally married to someone Jewish, they would take her and force her to be married to someone Muslim. So there were many Sephardi communities that did this. You still have women alive today who were married as young children because the alternative was to be taken by the Muslims. So they had to be able to show the legal paperwork. She's married. She's spoken for. So that's what Tosfa says, that even though technically the courts would punish someone who would marry off his daughter as a minor, but that's only when you have a choice. When the alternative is so much worse, when she's going to be abducted, it's just a question of, can you set her up with a good guy, or will she be taken by someone who's a bad guy? So then the Torah gave you the capacity to ensure that she has a good husband. That's the idea behind it. That's how Tosis explains it. And if you look closely at the Gemara, you'll see that that's repeatedly the line of reasoning behind the Gemara, as you're learning the Daf Yomi now.